the preaching of the cross. It is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Hello listeners, this is the Power of Endless Life, brought to you courtesy of Plumet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. Our goal on this program is to present to you Christ, His cross, and His church. I am your host, John Adichoro Olua. We're reading our scripture again, Hebrews chapter 6, from verse 1 to 3. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we do if God permit. We are still dealing with the issue of eternal judgment. We dealt with the issue of judgment of nations last week from Matthew chapter 25. And today we want to continue. We promised last week that we will continue because we are dealing with the issue of the judgment of the nations, and we are showing that the reason why the nations will be judged that way is because of their attitude and their towards the Jews, particularly towards the last leg of God's judgment and time of great, great trial and distress for the Jews that is still yet to come. And God is preparing us to know His word. And we have looked back at history to know that this has happened before at a scale, but there's still a greater scale that this will happen in these last days. So I'm going to read again for us that which Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, this judgment, and then we are going to see this judgment. So let's read again, even though we read it last week, but let's read it again. And that's Matthew 25 from verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, because He is the governor among the nations. You see, when He comes, all the nations will stand before Him, and He shall separate them one from another, and as a shepherd divided His sheep from the goats, and He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king, at this time again, He's sitting as the king, not coming in weakness anymore, but coming as the king to judge the nations. And then shall the king say unto them on His right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This will be the time to inherit the kingdom. The kingdom will be a reality at this time because the king will be here. The kingdom will no longer be a spiritual kingdom. It will be a physical kingdom. Verse 35, for I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hunger, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? Verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren. And we say this brethren here is talking about the Jews in this sense. We know that Christians are His brethren too, but in this sense talking about His brethren, the Jews. You have done it unto me. So whatever was done to the Jews in the time of their distress and calamity and punishment will be done to him. He will regard it as being done to him. Verse 41, then shall he also say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepare for the devil and his angels. For I was an hunger, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. These are the things that will happen to the Jews then. Verse 44, then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hunger, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did not to one of the least of these, ye did not to me. And this shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Serious judgment, eternal judgment. And we have shown you how this happened in the past in the Old Testament, when the sons of Esau, the descendant of Esau, when they treated them when Jerusalem was being destroyed in those days. And they were judged and they were cut off forever because they helped the enemy to plunder, to kill, to destroy. Even when Jews were escaping, they stopped them and gave them to the enemy. So we see here what happened then will still happen again. They will still yet go through serious tribulation. And what they suffer under Hitler will just be like a child's play. So here again, this judgment is important. And so I want to go to some scriptures to show you what is still yet ahead for them. Because we need to understand this, that this judgment and faces, God, the church will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We show you that classification in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32, the Jews, the Gentiles, and the church. So we see here, this is where human beings are classified. The church will go through the judgment seat of Christ. And that is important that we understand that. And then we also know, we are going to look at the scriptures today that show that the Jews also will go through judgments. And then we know the nations, which we have read in Matthew 25 just now. So let's go to other scripture and see this tribulation, this judgment that is coming upon the Jews for their rejection of their Messiah. Jeremiah chapter 30, and I want to read from verse 3 to 9, trusting that we'll be able to gain understanding from this. I read, for lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. This has happened. They have returned. Since 1948, they began to return, and they are still returning. And then verse 4, and these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hand on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from the off the neck, and I will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. So we see here, this is what is going to happen. Verse 9, but they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise unto them. So we see here, the first part of this scripture is a prophecy that Israel, the Jews, will be gathered back again to the land. We have seen that happen. But it's after that, there's a judgment coming. It is described at the time of Jacob's trouble. And he said, there's no day like that. That means all they have gone through, there are still years to come. Distress, calamity, punishment over them. And so we see it is the attitude of the Gentile nations towards them at this time that we have dealt with in Matthew 25 from verse 31. And then we see here, he said, but they shall serve the Lord. Eventually the Lord will break the yoke of the Gentile nations over their neck. God will come. God will literally come to intervene. And this is when the Lord himself will come at his second coming. So at that time of his second coming, which we call the resurrection morning, is also coming for the salvation of Israel. Because as at that time, all nations of the earth will have gathered against Jerusalem to exterminate them completely. And we're already hearing some nations saying that they want to take them out of the map. So we see this going to happen. There will be a coming together of nations against Israel. And we are seeing the signs again. The cloud is gathering and this judgment is coming upon them. So we see this is the time we dealt with. I also want us to go to Zechariah chapter 12. We want to see this also being described. So turn with me to Zechariah chapter 12. Verse 3, and in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people, and all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered against it. So this is going to happen, because this will happen, we are going to see. So all nations will gather against Jerusalem to fight them. So this will determine the judgment of nations. Let's go again to Zechariah chapter 14. I want to read from verse 2 to 4. It says in that way, "For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravaged, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And then, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem, on the east and on the Mount of Olives, and cleave into the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south." So that is showing of what will happen. The fight, this gathering against Israel of all nations, totally destroy them, will bring the Lord himself back. Because without his coming back and his intervention, they will be totally be wiped away. So it will take the Lord himself and his intervention to come for their help, to deliver them. Because by this time, the Antichrist will have gathered all nations, galvanized all nations to come against them. So it will take the Lord himself coming. So we can situate this judgment we have read in Matthew 25 into this situation. That's why he also will personally sit at the throne of his glory to judge nations as per what they will do at this time against the nation of the Jews. Now we go to Ezekiel chapter 20. The scripture says, "By two or three witnesses, the truth shall be established." So go with me to Ezekiel chapter 20, and I want to read from verse 37. And we will see here again the connection and the beauty of the word of God. Ezekiel chapter 20, and I read now from verse 37. "And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. I will purge out from among you the rebels, and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and they shall know that I am the Lord." That is verse 37 and verse 38 of Ezekiel chapter 20. Now we see here, the word here will cause you to pass under the rod is the separation. Part of the what will happen to Israel is to separate the rebels amongst them. As it is today, there are many people who among the Jews who do not believe, who are even atheists, and those who are rebels against them. See, one of the things God will achieve through this gathering against Israel is that God will use it as a rod of judgment to separate the rebels amongst them, those who are totally given up to the devil. So it is to separate them, the rebels, the scriptures says here. And then what is the reason for this? We see it in that verse, "I will purge out from among you the rebels." So that's the essence. That's what it's going to do. That's the essence of that judgment. We have seen this in the history of the Old Testament. God's people will do something against him. God will come and use the Gentile nations to punish them, to judge them. And then God will turn back and judge the Gentile nations. Like somebody said, when it comes to judging Israel, God has always been using Gentile nations to punish Israel. Okay? But when it comes to God dealing with the nation, he deals with the nations directly. So we see here, that is the essence of this judgment. We can go also back to Zechariah Let's go back to Zechariah chapter 13. We are laying scripture to show the essence, to give us light and explanation over the judgment that we have read in Matthew 25. So let's go now to Zechariah again, chapter 13, and I want to read that from verse 8 to 9 to also throw more light to us here. It says, "And it shall come to pass that in all the land, said the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein." That's what will happen. So many of them will die because it's saying here, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. So totally, we can see this is going to be terrible. Verse 9, "And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." So we see here, this what will happen. The judgment will so be serious that at this point they will be able to cry to the Lord. And this is what God wants to achieve. He wants to have them back as his people. He wants to have them back to himself. We can say this is God's judgment over the Jews in order to redeem them, in order to bring them back. And then he will come back. And then at this time, they will be able to say, like the scriptures, they will look at him whom they are pierced. And they will be able to say to him, "You are our savior." They will call upon him, and then he will come, and then he will save them. So we see this scriptures upon scriptures upon scriptures. And then you will see also that we are also given assurance in Zechariah chapter 12 again, which I will link with the New Testament scripture, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. It says there in verse 10, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness of him as one that in bitterness for his firstborn." And then you see, this is what will happen that day. It means that at a particular time, they will recognize their Messiah. This judgment will have to come for a national rebirth, for a national salvation. Now we thank God that Jews are coming to know the Lord in many ways. We thank God for that revival that is happening among the Jews, Messianic Jews, as they call them. They are coming into faith in Christ, and many more are coming. But we know that the national rebirth, the national salvation, a whole nation being saved in one day is yet to happen. But it will not happen until this judgment had taken place. This purging, this cleansing, this passing under the rod, this bringing the nations of the earth to fight them, to try to destroy them. So that has happened. And then, but the Lord is also saying, these nations of the earth that will come and judge Israel, an instrument of judgment, he will judge them. That's what we read in Matthew 25. And the attitude of all the nations towards Israel at that time, that's the time he said, "I was sick, you didn't come, I was in prison, I was naked," and on that. And he said, "When did we see you doing that? And we didn't do it." He said, "As long as you didn't do it for the Jews, my brethren." And then we can see the consequence of the judgment going into lake of fire, going to fire. So we see here, it's important that we understand this. We are shown from the Old Testament when the descendants of Esau did the same thing, they were judged forever. So we can see the word of the Lord. I want us to go now to Romans chapter 11. There's so much that is spoken about the Jews and their restoration, but I just want us to look at Romans chapter 11, and then we'll just read verse 26. Romans 11, 26, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn ungodliness from Jacob." Verse 27, "For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." So we see all Israel, all true Israel, let me put it that way, all true Israel, those who are not rebels, shall be saved. But they will have to pass through this to be saved. There's the Israel of God, there's the true Jews in the heart who will follow God. And this is important that we understand. So all Israel, all true Israel will be saved. This is the covenant of God unto them. And God will turn away ungodliness from them in one day. A nation will be saved in one day. So it's in the middle of this judgment and tribulation that the Lord himself will come. It will be his rescue mission for the Jews, that he will come to save them and to deliver them. And the Bible says the Lord himself will fight with the sword of his mouth. Fire and sword, that we will see this in the book of Revelation, when it will come down. So we see this all laid out for us as we see the scripture. I'm trusting that this is helping us as we see the beauty of the word of God. I want to read that scripture for us as we close. That's in Revelation chapter 19. It says here, verse 11, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with vesture deep in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." Verse 14, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite," what? "The nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he shall tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of the Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." So you see here, this also agrees with what we have read, that at this time he's coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's coming with the armies from heaven, and he's coming to judge. He's coming out as the king. And then he says, "And out of his mouth goeth sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nation." So that's the judgment of the nations, as they have related to him, as they have related to the Jews. This is the nation, the Gentiles. Like we said, God will separate, because he will know, for instance, in a particular nation, there may be an official position against Israel, but there may be people, official position of persecution and enmity, but then within that nation, there could be families, individual communities who will show favor to Israel, and God knows how to separate this when it comes to judgment. But we can see how he's going to come. And then also it's important that those who are coming with him, part of his army, they said they are clothed in white. No, we see him, that is verse 14 of this Revelation chapter 9. "And his army which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." We have seen in this scripture that is talking about the overcomers. They are coming with him. So we know that this is after resurrection, because then resurrection would have taken place. Those who are clothed with white here, they are his people, the overcomers, who have overcome and they have been taken up with him, and they are now coming back together with him. And we, like you said earlier, his first mission will be to deal with the nations who have gathered against Israel. That's why he's coming as a king with all his angels, and he's coming with great glory and power, and coming to judge. We can see this. So we see the word of God in that verse 15, it's last part of 15. I said, "After some great sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nation, and he shall rule them with the rod of iron," and that's with strength. Rod of iron, the scriptures speak of strength, "and he shall tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of the Almighty God." So he's bringing to bring the wrath, the judgment. Satan will have tribulated the world. Satan will be the one to bring tribulation and judgment, but God is coming with the wrath. And that's why the Bible says, "We are not unto wrath, yet we are delivered from the wrath." But the church and the nations of them will go through tribulation. The church will go through tribulation. Israel will go through tribulation. And then after that, God will come. The Lord himself will come from heaven with his army to bring the wrath of the Almighty God upon ungodliness and rebels. And then he will initiate his kingdom, which is the millennial reign. And that is when we have shared with you that the beginning of that millennial reign, those who are not worthy, who are his people, they will not be part of that 1,000-year rule of Christ. Why? Because they will go into outer darkness. We'll be dealing with this again as we close these teachings. We still have to deal with one thing before we finish. We'll be dealing with the white throne judgment. That's the next thing we'll be looking at, the white throne judgment. This is also important for us to look at and to consider, so that we can fully understand the word of God. Before we close, I want to take you back to our scripture, Hebrews chapter 6, and I want you to see something here. Hebrews chapter 6. We see there, we've always been saying that these are foundational issues that we have been dealing with from Hebrews chapter 6, which has to do with the doctrine of Christ. And we have mentioned that means the Godhead. We must note whom we serve. We must know that Jesus Christ, who came here, is God. So we must see, is God Almighty? That's the doctrine of Christ, the Godhead. Jesus said, you serve and you worship, but you do not know what to worship. It's important that we know who was. That's the doctrine of Christ. And after that, we have dealt with the issue of repentance from dead works. We dealt with the issue of faith toward God. We dealt with the doctrine of baptism. We dealt with the issue of laying on of hands. We dealt with the issue of resurrection of the dead. And now we are coming close to concluding the issue of eternal judgment. All from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 to 2. But we see here the whole essence is to bring us into perfection, that when proper foundation is laid for us, then we can grow in maturity and grow into Him, into the fullness of Christ. That's the reason why we are bringing this word of God to you, that we may be what God has ordained us to be. And I want you to look at something that I said also before we go on in that passage. I want to read Hebrews chapter 6, verse 20. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest for us after the order of Melchizedek. So we can see now the Lord has gone ahead for us and then has our forerunner, so we can follow after Him and we can become what He wants us to be. I pray that the Lord will bless you, because this is the will of God for us, to grow to maturity, to follow Him all the way. The Lord here is referred to as our forerunner. He has gone ahead of us for us, but He has gone ahead that we may come to His place, to a place of maturity, that we can come back with Him when He comes back to judge the nations of the earth. I pray the Lord bless you. I pray that He will cause His face to shine upon you, listener, and I pray that He will give you peace. I pray that a hunger for truth, a hunger for righteousness will be your portion. I pray for those of you who are hearing and you are not born again. I ask that the Lord will touch you and you open your heart and give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for those of you who are Christian but you do not have a walk with God, that as you listen to these things, it will create a hunger and a desire in your heart to have a walk with Him and to follow Him. He's your forerunner so that you can follow. He has gone ahead so that you can follow Him the way He walks and follow. The scriptures say, those who follow the Lamb whithersoever He goes. Are you following Him whithersoever He goes? Do not be tied down by things that will not allow you to follow Him. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
This message, The Power of Endless Life, is brought to you courtesy Plummet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. You can call us on these phone numbers, 0803-392-2585 and 0706-3890-315. I take it again, 0803-392-2585, 0706-3890-315. You can also send us an email through the following email addresses: endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. I take it again, endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. You can also visit our website, www.plummetmission.org. The signature tune is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 of King James Version. Thanks to our regular host, John Adejoroluwa, our producers and our sound engineers. Please join us again, same time next week, and God bless you.
For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but